You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm on the coast of this wonderful show. So, on today's podcast, we will bring you another portion of our player season reviews. We are making the assumption that the regular season has ended. I think it's a fair assumption to make, or at least mostly ended. Maybe there'll be some kind of five-game kind of starter before they hit the playoffs, sometime hopefully late June, July kind of range. So I'm making that assumption. So with that assumption, Tony and I have been doing player season reviews, just kind of talking about their season. You know, we put enough games where if, you know, guys played 60, 65 games, that's considered enough for a season. I mean, you know, last year, some guys didn't make that many games in a full 82 games. So we're gonna do kind of a whole series, you know, walk through best moments, best game, turning points, things like that. And on today's show, I'm going to do Miles Turner, who I think had one of the more up and down wavy seasons. And then at the end of it, I'll bring on a special guest to kind of talk about Turner and give her take on Turner during these quarantine days. But first, a quick break, and then we'll get to the podcast.
Hey, so let's take a little switch here from talking about video games to talking about the lovely people over at Blinkist. Blinkist is possibly the most useful app you could have on your phone. It's really unique. You can be on your tablet or your web browser also. But what it does is they take the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, condenses it from the full length of the book to like 15 minutes. Segments that you can read or listen to instead. So you can save a bunch of time, not have to read the full book and get the full takeaway. And it has the audio feature, which is great for commutes, for whenever you need to do it. I have heard of Blinkist is really good when driving and traveling. A lot of people like Blinkist because it's the fastest way to like intelligently be informed quickly. Some quotes from listeners say, I like Blinkist because it helps me get the key takeaways of a book in only 15 minutes. So I can incorporate those learnings into my life immediately. So really great way to digest a lot of information. They have books basically of any type that you could want. So with Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for the audience of this show. Go to Blinkist, BLINKIST.com/MBA to try it for free for 7 days and save 25% off of a subscription. That's Blinkist.com/MBA to start your 7-day free trial and save 25%.
All right, so Miles Turner finished the season playing 55 games. That means he missed 9 games total, averaging 11.8 points, 6.5 rebounds, and 1.1 assists and 2.2 blocks per game. His block numbers were down, but his defensive rating was up. This was his, I believe, one of not his best defensive rating, but one of his top two defensive ratings in his career. He had a you know, to me, he had, I almost said fantastic, but he had a fantastic defensive season, especially in the last, you know, 15 to 20 games. He turned it on and really became kind of, I think, the most important player on the defensive end for them. You know, I'm thinking against Boston, the last game they played when they lost, he was incredible on defense. He's important against Dallas. I mean, you can go back, you know, when they beat Toronto earlier in this year, he was really important. I mean, he has been in every moment where this team kind of comes up big and late, it seems like he is a part of that defensively. Now, you can make a case offensively, and some of the guys they lose, he screws up and blows it. But mainly when this team comes up big in a game, it's because he is so good defensively that it kind of carries them or it helps kind of stifle the team, you know, in close moments. So this year, I think his season, kind of to recap it real fast. So it started off pretty well. He's played 4 games before his first injury. In those 4 games, he was averaging 15 points, 7 rebounds on 55-53 shooting. Then he got hurt, ankle injury, I believe, missed the next 8 games, comes back, and things get a little wonky. If you look at his next, you know, it's basically until the end of the year, right? So he comes back mid-November through the end of the year. His stats are a little bit shaky, so he drops an 11.6 points per game on 44-35 shooting. You know, I don't know whether that was, by the time he comes back, Sabonis has finally kind of stepped in to being, I mean, the player that, the all-star, right? So I think before the season started, it was kind of like, who's going to step up? There were thoughts, could Turner make a leap to an all-star? I think Sabonis probably could make a leap from let's say, the 70th or 80th best player to the 50th best player where Turner was. Instead, Sabonis made this massive leap past Turner. By the time Turner returned, he's sort of taking a backseat role and sort of just playing the four offensively and letting Sabonis be the dominant force offensively, really, in every play, right? Turner's mainly sitting in the corner and whatnot. So this, like, 20-22-game stretch, Turner's still good. I mean, he has a couple of solid games here. So you have the Toronto game, which I think may be his best game of the season, in my opinion. The Toronto December 23rd game, where they come all the way back to win that game. I think they were trailing by like 10 in the first quarter, something crazy like that. They come all the way back, go to overtime, win. He hits a big three in OT, a big three in the regulation. He plays awesome defense. I mean, he finished the night with 24 and 7 and three blocks. I mean, he was just incredible, in my opinion, in that game. That was probably his best game against a good team, right? And then he starts hitting the stretch, right? So from the beginning of the year through basically, we'll say the All-Star break, which was the 12th, he starts cratering some more in terms of his three-point shooting, but his blocks go up. He's down to, at this point, he's at 11.6 points per game on 30% shooting. So again, you know, you see him have a couple of these really nice games, but he has a couple of really terrible, awful games. I mean, we're talking about like a 3-for-8 night, 1-for-5 from 3 against Minnesota. I mean, you know, in this stretch, I would say he had a really nice game against Chicago where he had 27 points. I think, again, that's where I felt like he was playing better, but just kind of not great. And really, that kind of stretch continued basically until the last, you want to say, like, 6 games of the season, right? The last 6 games of the season, he finally, I think, turned a little bit of a corner. He's up to 13 points per game. He's at 8.5 rebounds. He's at over 3 blocks. That helps. He had 8 blocks against New Orleans during this stretch. Or Charlotte. No, sorry, this is out the Charlotte. If you add the Charlotte game in this stretch, but I didn't. He's up to 4 blocks per game on 47-35 shooting. And so this is when it felt like, again, he kind of turned the corner, right? I think after that terrible Toronto loss, it felt like he had kind of come back. He's playing well. And in this stretch, this last 8-10-game stretch, it wasn't him scoring a ton of points, but it was him scoring efficiently. We see a lot of 6 of 10s, 7 of 11s, 6 of 9 games. Games where he's efficient and shooting well from 3, scoring double-digit points, grabbing a lot of rebounds, doing just a lot of different things. Kind of more of the overall all-around player the Pacers need, right? So the thing about Turner all season was the Pacers did not need him to be their best, second, third-best offensive player. I mean, they had Brogdon, they had Warren, and they had Sabonis, and then you can throw in there when they got Vic back, they had him, and then you could throw in the fact that when one of the guys hurt, they had Lamb or Aaron Holiday stepped up, so they didn't need Turner to be the offensive player. What they needed him to be was a superb defensive player and then a stretch-the-floor threat offensively, right? And he certainly had to take his three-point shot when he had it. He couldn't be afraid to. He had to, like, you know, if teams basically said, we're going to force you to take Turner's shots, let him take it. And, you know, a couple points, you know, he ends the year with a 33.6% three-point shooting percentage, but he takes 4.2 threes per game, which is his career most by about 1.5 a game. But a couple of points in the season, he was up to 40%, and it felt like his last 8 games, he was heading towards a stretch where he was going to get his three-point percentage up to like the 36%, 37 on 4 attempts, which is pretty solid for a center. Not, you know, you can't say that for a lot of centers. One thing I will say about this year for Turner is this was probably his most consistent year, right? He missed basically 10 games. I think 10 games he missed this year. He really had one major injury. The other time, I forget what happened now I'm blanking on what happened to him in January, but he missed 2 games on the West Coast road trip, or that last West Coast road trip, and then missed the game at first game in Chicago, but I think it was just minor injuries. Like, he didn't have any, you know, besides the turn ankle, he didn't have any major injuries. He played about only 29 minutes per game, which was about what he's been playing overall, but it felt like, too, his fouls were down to a career low 2.5 per game, so before his minutes would be down because he was fouling so much. Now, I think this year it was more a concerted attempt to realize that you can't play Turner 35 minutes, but you could play him 28 really good minutes or 29 really good minutes. If you played him 33 to 35, he's going to get hurt. He's not going to be able to play a lot of games. So the idea was play him like 28 to 30 minutes a game, but you get good minutes out of him and you'll extend his longevity for a season because, remember, he's really important to this Pacer team because he is their best defensive player. I mean, it's weird as a center, you know, he can't guard like guards or the team's best forwards, but he's an incredible switcher, which you continue to see this year. He's a rim protector, and it's a really high IQ defensive player, right? He knows where to be at the right moments, where he can, you know, how to make the right step to force the guy into a bad shot if he can't get the block, or how to run a guy into like a bad shot on the court. Like, he just is a very high IQ defensive player. I think the thing about him this year too is his overall, right? So you look at like his effective shooting percentage, which adds in 3-point shooting and 2-point shooting, right? Gives you an extra point for 3-point. It's actually pretty much around his career average. Right? So last year he had a career high basically across the board and everything, right? Which I think is, you wouldn't really think that, right? He only missed 8 games, but he had a career high in, like, he was 48.7 from the field, 38.8 from three, and an effective field percentage of 53.6, right? But normally, those numbers were more like 35. And then 48 has been kind of, this year, it's been kind of his average field goal percentage, but he doesn't take as many threes, right? It was 2.6 threes last year, 2.4 before that. Well, this year, it was 45% from the field, 33.6 from three, but half his shots were from three nearly. And his effective field goal percentage was 52.5, which is just a percentage point below last year, which isn't that bad. You know, his overall shots were down, right? He's down to basically a career low in shots outside his first season. And I think the interesting thing was he played more minutes at power forward than I probably think he's ever had, right? So, and I mean by that is he played a lot more power forward on the defensive end than you on the offensive end than you ever thought, right? He was always the center defensively, but man, he spent a lot of time sitting in the corner and just taking threes or being the extra assist guy, right? The one thing I will say about him this year is that his on-off numbers, he was because of Sabonis, I think it's probably more Sabonis than him, he was better off the court than he was on the court. So the Pacers were better off when he was not playing. Actually, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the playoff totals. I'm an idiot. So when you look at it, when you look at his on-off numbers for the regular season, it was the same. So he was a positive on the court, a small negative court, but it was lower than ever was, right? So he was only a positive plus 1.4 on the court. But some years that had been a three. You know, it got even higher. I mean, there were years where he would be both a positive on and be a positive off, and the team was better. I'm talking about like 16, 17, stuff like that. So, he had kind of a worse on-off year than his in his overall career, but more of that has to do with Sabonis than anything else, right? Sabonis was so good off the court, was so good on the court when he played with the bench that it kind of outweighed everybody. Like, I haven't done it yet, but I wonder what TJ Warren's would look like, or like Brogdon, because remember that bench unit was so good that they really outplayed the starters most of the time. I mean, that's because of who they played against one another, but all those kind of things. The other thing I like from Turner this year, and this is kind of the, I think, the most important improvement of his career. So you look at his shot percentage by distance, right? And he had, you know, consistently year after year, he had been taking it like nearly 30. So it was 36%, 30%, 30%, 25% of his shots from this 16-foot under three-point range, which is like the most inefficient garbage shot on the planet. He took less than 10% of his shots from that point. He had 9%, 44.3% of his shots from three. I mean, that's, he basically, right, so if you look at the categories, right, he basically combined his 16-foot, he basically turned that 16-foot shot into a three-point shot, mainly on Mookie. Now, he had occasional long two, but most of the time he turned into that shot. And he started taking a ton more shots at the rim, right? So, you know, inside, you know, you look at the inside kind of 3 feet range, 3 to 10 feet, his percentage is basically up for his career. You know, he basically became an inside three foot shooter or a 3-point shooter, something that you want from him, especially because that's kind of where he's the most efficient, right? I mean, he's an okay jump shooter, but he's good enough 3-point shooter. You want him out there. And so I do think this year we'll look back as sort of a transition year for Turner, right? So this was the first year I think we're going to look at that, because I think they're going to bring back Turner as a bonus next year. I just don't see, especially with the paused year, you kind of wash this one out, you get everybody healthy next year, right? You just kind of have a chance to reset, right? If they had played a full season and everything, you could maybe be like, well, you know, it's time to, this didn't work, whatnot. But I think this year you could really talk yourself into both ways, right? Because the team wasn't healthy this full year. We don't even know if Brogdon would have played in the playoffs and whatnot. So maybe you say, well, even if you lost in the finals in the first round, well, we didn't have our full team, right? Well, now you get a real wash. Even if there's a playoff series now for 3 months, you just wash it as, you know, it was weird, whatever. Maybe they play well for the 3 months, they come back. And even if they don't, whatever. So you can come back next year, run the same team back, 100% healthy is the hope, and see what happens. And I think the improvements Turner made in mentality, and I mean by being the extra assist man, right? So you look at his assist numbers, he doesn't, you know, I don't really track hockey assists very well, but I from the eye test, I imagine he had more hockey assists than he normally had in his career. And you look at the mentality of taking a ton more threes and just being a 3-point shooter and an inside 3 feet shooter, that will make an improvement next year when everybody's healthy and he maybe could get a three-point percentage up to like 36 with maybe five attempts per game and things like that, right? So I think that's part of it. Defensively, they'll get better with more chemistry. So I think this is sort of, it's the kind of a transition here, right? You know, his first year, he was a power forward, right? I mean, that's basically what behind Imi. And then he became a center for the next 3 years. And this year, it was transitioning into a pseudo 5-4, right? Where he's four on the offensive end and five on the center end. And that takes some adjustment, right? And I think he adjusted fine. I mean, I think, you know, he could have been, sure, if he was shooting 40% from three, he'd averaging 14 points per game, and he got an extra block, whatever. Great. Yes, certainly he could be better. But I think he did a adequate job adjusting, and next year he'll be even better because he'll spend a whole year doing it. Hopefully get a whole offseason with the guys once, you know, this whole virus ends and this quarantine ends, so they'll be able to practice and do a kind of training and whatnot. And I think there'll be some improvements we'll see in the end of Turner's both working together, add in a better offensive guards, right? When you add in the combination of Warren, Oladipo, and Brogdon, they're going to be pretty solid. So I'm kind of excited, I think, when I look at Turner this year, where, yes, if I grade him from a 1 to 10 scale, I'd say he'd come in at a 6, right? He wasn't awesome, but he wasn't bad. Don't get me wrong. But I think if we look back going forward, this is going to be kind of that transition where we say next year he's an 8 because he's going to be, you know, 13 points a game on 9 shots, 5 of them from 3 and 37%. And he'll be even better defensively, and he'll have, you know, his blocks will be back up to the 2.5 to 7 range that they were last year. So that's what I'm looking forward to, too. I think now, too, we've had basically two consecutive years where he's been pretty much healthy, right? He had a really bad 17-18 where he just could not consistently stay healthy. These past 2 years, he pretty much has, except for minor things here and there. I think they've figured out the minutes for him. He's got his fouls down. I mean, I think they're just – it's things are starting to settle in, and I think we'll see his points per game come back up, right? We've seen this kind of – 14 in second year, then down to 12, then up to 13, then 11 this year. I think we'll see kind of an uptick back to the 14 range once he becomes a little better at three, right? So if he shoots 38% from three, I think that translates to about, what, half a three-point shot, so 1.5 more points. I could see it gets you to 13.3 points right there. So, I mean, that's what we're looking at, right? If he can do something like that, and that, you know, his field goal percentage overall would probably never be that high again just because he'll take so many threes. But his effective field percentage should shoot up if he shoots 38% to 54 range, which would be a career high, which I think that's the key with him right now. It's not necessarily his overall field goal percentage, but his effective field goal percentage and his three-point percentage. Those are the two numbers to look at. That's it for him. All right, let's take one quick break, and I'm going to bring on a special guest to talk about Miles Turner. Welcome back in the Locked On Pacers podcast. All right, so to end this podcast, I brought on the biggest Miles Turner fan of my life. You might have heard her on a podcast already this year a couple times. Since we are in quarantine, we are quarantined together. And during this pandemic, so I thought I'd bring her on because she listens to all my podcasts, watched a lot of the Pacer games, and really doesn't have a lot to say about a lot of players, but has a very, very strong affinity for Miles Turner. And if there was one player she'd have a lot of takes for, it'd be Turner. So Marina, I did my kind of whole thing on Turner's season. You don't have to go as long as me. I went 15 minutes. But what was your take on Miles Turner's season? You think it's good, bad? You know, compared to last year. What did you like and what didn't you like?
At the beginning, it was worrisome because all of the people were like, trade him because he's not good, because he wasn't very good. Well, he was good, but like he wasn't great, and that was making me sad. A-plus commentary right there. But just like very average, and it was getting hard for me to be like, hey, he's a good man, please keep him, because he was very average. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but it was like, boom, boom, boom. Every time there was a game, I would get someone tweeting at me and being like, oh my God, it's so impressive, he's doing so well. And I would turn it on and I'd be like, oh my God, look at him go. So I don't know what happened. I'm actually really sad that the NBA is postponed, because I think we were on a little bit of a hot streak with him.
Yeah, I feel like he had turned a corner the last, like, 9 or 10 games.
I'm actually, like, really disappointed because it came at, like, a really bad time for him.
Yeah, I think he
was feeling himself. I don't know what happened. I guess it was him drinking coffee.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably, I forgot to mention that, that's probably his turning point, right? When he was drinking coffee, I feel like his three-point shot was falling more.
Like, all of a sudden he was getting this energy.
So, did you think the Sabonis-Turner thing worked? I mean, I know you don't have a huge love for Sabonis.
I don't.
But, like, did you think he was taking too much from him? I mean, do you think, you know...
No. Are you saying...
No, did Sabonis took too much from Turner by, you know... I think, I mean, right? I felt like...
I don't know. No, I think they... they seem happy for each other when the other person succeeds, and you can't expect them to be selfless all the time, either of them. So I think that they gave up shots for each other when they had to, and they took shots from each other when they had to, and I think they made it work. And I don't know how common it is to have two centers play all the time with each other, or play a lot of their time with each other.
Not very common.
I like it. I think it makes the team unique, and they've been there together for how many seasons now? Two? Three?
Three now. So the third season together.
So clearly they have chemistry, and they've played together more than... I don't want to get that close to it. They've played together more than, like, Vic and Miles have, because Vic's been out and Miles has been out, but they have chemistry, and I think you can tell that they're friends, like, outside of there, and I think they want to see each other succeed, and they're going to make it work. Whereas, like, other players, if they were on this, like, if they were both centers or whatever and they didn't have that chemistry, they wouldn't really care to see the other person succeed, and they wouldn't try to work together as much. So I think that's important, and I like it. I'm a fan. I don't like Domantas Sabonis, but it's okay.
So do you think Turner will have a better year next year, though? I mean, I
always think he's going to have a better year.
See, I think it's kind of a transition season. I was saying that earlier, that this is like he had a kind of
fair. Yeah, I think he needs confidence, and I think he saw a good point
right there. Yeah, hopefully that kind of carries into next season. And if
he can build on that.
Yeah, I think it felt like, too, he was sort of playing, like, he played a lot of center last year and didn't play a lot of Sabonis. This year, he's having to play a little four on offense and five on defense, so it's kind of like a weird hybrid mix. He's trying to kind of figure that out.
Have you mentioned the coffee or the sugar packet thing?
No.
How you
no.
explained, like, I don't know what, oh, like, the spacing? I don't know what the four and the five, I don't know what those are.
I mean, so. Spacing, yeah, we had a whole through a whole thing about spacing.
So I made Adam explain it with, like, these sugar packets at a restaurant. It still doesn't really make sense to me, but yeah, I think he did great.
Yeah, I mean, Turner did a good job spacing. He's got to shoot a little better from three, but I don't know. I think the one thing you say about the season ending short, basically, is it probably gives him a chance to run it back next year without any, like, critiques, right? I don't think anybody right now is clamoring for anything to happen. You know, I think a lot of teams will just kind of see what they have and run it back again, which I think will be helpful to Turner. I think he kind of, like, had a transition season where he wasn't, you know, a 10 out of 10. He's probably, I gave him a 6 out of 10 rating for the season. I thought, you know, he wasn't fantastic, but he wasn't bad. He was kind of just up and down. But I think next year he could be like an 8 out of 10, a 9 out of 10 in terms of consistency.
Who else did you rate higher than that then?
Well, I think you would rate like Sabonis, Brogdon, and Warren as like 8s and 9s. And then, you know, you put like Turner as a 6.
Whatever.
Stuff like that. I mean, I haven't done all the players yet, but I think you probably put like Aaron Holiday at like a 5, Justin Holiday at maybe a 7,
whatever.
McDermott at a 7, things like that.
Whatever.
I think he was probably their, like, 6th or 7th best player this year.
Hot take, T.J. McConnell's 9.
Well, in terms of expectations, right, too, there's a little bit higher expectation for him than some of the other players, so that's why. But anything else on Turner?
No.
All right, well, it's been...
I love him.
That's been all for his Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, we'll bring
He's
you...
He's a good boy. Sorry.
Yes, he is. We'll bring you a new podcast tomorrow. As always, you can follow our podcast at Locked On Pacers, me at FreeManof5, Marina at Marina Higuera, and my co-host Tony's at TeastNBA. Have a great rest of your day.